You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting three of the nine people seeking a seat on Wilmington City Council. These are staggered four-year terms. Three seats are open. Two of the members with expiring terms are seeking re-election. The third, Earl Sheridan, has chosen not to run again after serving for three terms. Interviews with three other city council candidates are posted at whqr.org, and we will meet three more tomorrow. Joining us now is Hollis Briggs Jr., a self-described lifelong Wilmingtonian. His father was the first African-American person to run for Wilmington Town Constable in 1966. Since 1999, Hollis Briggs has served as the director of the city's Martin Luther King Jr. Committee. He organizes the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day Parade. He was appointed to the USS North Carolina Battleship Commission by Governor Mike Easley and served from 2006 to 2013. In 2014, Hollis Briggs served on the Transportation Bond Advisory Committee. Last year, he worked to pass the Parks and Recreation Bond to improve Wilmington's parks and natural areas. He also volunteers at St. Philip AME Church. Hollis Briggs Jr., welcome to Coastline.
Thanks for having me.
And you can ask your own question of our candidates during this live Wednesday interview. Either call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Hollis Briggs, you ran 2 years ago in 2015 when there were eight candidates seeking one of three open seats. You came in fifth out of the eight. What did you learn during that process, and why are you running again this year?
I'm running again because I want to serve the people of Wilmington, North Carolina, as a city council member. The 2015 race, I don't think I was quite organized enough. And also, it rained from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Election Day. And I didn't emphasize on the early voting, and this time I am going to emphasize more on early voting. So in case there's a bad weather day on Election Day, we'll have that covered. But I stood in the rain for 12 hours in 2015, and we came up just a little short.
Was that your first run at public office?
No, it was not. In 2008, I ran for the House of Representatives, District 18, and Sandra Spaulding Hughes was the Democratic person that ran also, and she won that one.
And when you look at the fire in your belly that brings you to the race for Wilmington City Council specifically, what is it? I mean, you talk about serving the people and representing the people, but are there specific issues that you say, I need to lead that particular issue?
Yes, there are several issues that I think that I would do better representing the people of Wilmington than maybe some other candidates. Number one, I'm from Wilmington, and I'm from the bottom neighborhood, and my family's owned a house over there for 55 years.
Now, for those listeners who aren't familiar with the bottom, where is that?
The bottom is an area in Wilmington, North Carolina, that's between Market Street and Castle Street and 7th Street and 17th Street. And that area is about, it's just a low-lying area, and that's how it got the name, the bottom. It's not a negative thing. It's just like Carolina Heights or Dry Pond. But if you do the history of the areas of Wilmington, you'll see that it's not negative. It's just an area of town. And when I moved back to Wilmington, the city of Wilmington asked me to start the neighborhood organization again that had been going on for several years. And my mother was on that committee back in the day. So she says, Hollis, you're starting something again that we've already had going on. So I renamed it to the Bottom Neighborhood Empowerment Association because I wanted to empower the people of Wilmington in that area to be able to ask the critical questions and get the right resources they need to get things done.
Why is it harder for, say, people in that neighborhood to get resources or to have a voice than people in other parts of Wilmington?
I think they really don't know what question to ask whom. As a matter of fact, when we started that neighborhood organization, the city of Wilmington made some small magnets, and it had a list of all those resources that the city offered to people, and there's about 1,000 of them. We passed out those magnets, and people still have it on their refrigerators now, about stormwater, if you see something that you shouldn't see, and the numbers to call, the resources, the right numbers to call to get things done, because I think some people just don't know who to call.
We have a question from B, who writes, what could you do to break the social economic wall that we have in our community? I work for a small business here in Wilmington, located in a highly wealthy, saturated part of town. Working in the medical field, our office sees all types of economic classes, often witness from all classes the social wall that Wilmington has. What can be done to bring us together as a community and break this huge diversity of social classes that we have here?
That's a tough question, because that wall has been up for a long time. And you can chip at that wall, but to take it down is going to be a different story.
What is the wall? Describe it.
The wall is, I would say, the racial divide that has engulfed the city of Wilmington and its efforts to move forward beyond it. You have to realize now even that the schools are segregated. So, you know, you break down the wall by learning each other's, how each other feel. But if you segregate children, if you segregate the schools and children in elementary school aren't able to get to know black kids and black kids aren't able to get to know white kids. So that's the start of the wall right there. So now, instead of trying to break down the wall, I think we're building it higher. That is one reason. Another thing is the job availability for African Americans is slim. A lot of people don't have skill sets. Back in the early 70s, in high school, when I was in high school, we had vocational school. So you built a program for kids that weren't able to go to college so they could have a skill set and learn how to continue their life, you know, with good paying jobs. Well, that now has gone, and they're talking about bringing it back, but we've lost two generations of children because they graduate from high school with nothing to do.
And they are bringing that back.
Yeah, they are. They are bringing the vocation program is coming back.
Right.
So that is something that would be great. But back to that wall, it's something that you're really going to have to chip at. And everybody's got to chip at the wall, not just some people.
What are some of the ways that people aren't chipping at the wall? I mean, you mentioned desegregation of schools as one way to chip away at the wall. What about things like, do you see Confederate monuments and statues taking up public spaces in town as part of the wall? Or is that a separate issue?
The monuments and statues really don't play that much into the being of the wall. I think it's the mentality of the people. Because even if you take down a monument or a statue, the people's mentality will remain the same. It's not going to change anything. As a matter of fact, you'll probably most likely make it worse.
You're talking about white racists.
Yes.
When mentality not changing.
Right.
What about a little boy who is a little boy of color, let's say he's African American, walking by that monument in the town where he grows up? What do you tell him about what that monument means?
I wouldn't tell him anything.
And so you don't think there's any kind of negative impact on that child?
It's the way you spin the story. And when I was a kid, I used to see the monuments or the statues, and my mother would just say, that's a statue of so-and-so. She never got into any particulars about why it was there and who erected it. So I was an adult until I even found out the significance of those statues and monuments, because when I lived in Atlanta, they had statues and monuments there too, but it wasn't of the same culture of people.
So when you did figure out then what those monuments meant, what did you think?
I just thought that it was something that shouldn't be. But the state of North Carolina, the legislature has taken over, and they've passed a bill to protect them, and the city of Wilmington has no say-so over it. So with the legislature, You know,
that's right. It's out of the hands of Wilmington City Council.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that for a second, because there are so many issues facing the citizens of Wilmington, things that people are concerned about that aren't necessarily regulated by Wilmington City Council members,
right,
or, you know, policy isn't shaped there. But that's still a place that people want to go and say, hey, for instance, I'm concerned about Gen X and the water, or I do want to see us explore offshore drilling here off the coast of North Carolina,
right,
or I don't.
Right.
But so what is your role then? If you win a seat on City Council, what is your role with those kinds of issues?
In all sincerity, there isn't but so many things that you would be able to do as a city councilman or as a representative of the people of Wilmington, unless you have to lobby the legislators and let them know how you feel, because the people will tell you. And then you have to translate that to the representatives. Right now, the representatives in the legislature is a majority of Republicans, and I don't think they really want to hear anything about that. So I think right now, at this particular period in time, you'd just be spinning your wheels in the dirt.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting three of the nine candidates for Wilmington City Council. Hollis Briggs Jr. is taking your questions on this live Wednesday show. Remember, you just have a few minutes left to get your question in for Hollis Briggs. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. John from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel, and thank you, Mr. Briggs, for your thoughtful answers today. I have a question about what a lot of folks are talking about in my neighborhood, which is a gang problem or maybe just an issue with petty crime, and I want to hear your thoughts on that. You know, what is the problem, and what would you do to solve it on the city council? And thank you so much.
Thanks for your question, John.
Well, it is said that there is a lawlessness problem in Wilmington. With the teens. And as you spoke earlier, I did work on the Parks and Recreation bond. I helped with that, steer it through. So let's go back to Parks and Recreation. I don't think there's adequate Parks and Recreation programming in place to help kids with their idle minds and their time to steer them away from lawlessness. So I would like to see the city of Wilmington invest in children. If we want them to do the right thing, then we're going to have to make their time valuable. You know, right now there's a plan to build two brand new gymnasiums, one in Mays Park and one at the ML King Center, or the William E. Murphy Sports Complex. It was renamed. So I think we need to work on that. I think we need to start break ground on those immediately so we can start having programming for kids, something for kids to do, and they won't be lawlessness. The lawlessness won't.
We have a question. Wave Transit. We know that Wilmington has been a major funder of Wave Transit, although this also gets funding from the county and the state and I think federal. But Wilmington has kind of been the base of that support. Do you think it's important to increase the base of choice riders on Wave Transit? Or do you think that right now Wilmington should be funding that service at just the minimal level to meet the requirements?
No, I think Wilmington should do it to the maximum. And I think New Hanover County should pitch in as well. And it should be an equal partnership. Public transportation in Wilmington is poor at best. Everybody complains about there being traffic on the streets, but nobody wants to park their cars and ride the bus. And I think a Wave Transit or the Public Transportation Authority needs to make riding the bus more attractive to more people, have more park and rides, something to alleviate the headache of the traffic in the mornings and in the evening times. A lot of people have three and four cars in their homes, and they drive all three and four cars downtown every day. I think Wave Transit needs to work on trying to make the routes better and the timing better. So it's going to take a lot more funding, and I think the city and the county should have an equal partnership in funding the transportation system in Wilmington.
In your bio on your website, you spend a paragraph talking about your work within the Democratic Party, including working on the campaigns of Julia Bozeman and Susie Hamilton. In this nonpartisan race, what role does your Democratic affiliation play? And is this race just nonpartisan in name?
No, it's not nonpartisan in just name. It is actually nonpartisan. But I am running for city council, and I am a Democrat. But I don't let that influence what I am doing for the city of Wilmington or what I would do if I'm a member of the city council. I have a lot of Republican friends as well and a lot of Republican support in my run for city council. So it's actually nonpartisan.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Thanks so much, Hollis Briggs, Jr.
You're certainly welcome, and thanks for having me.
Thanks also to Kaylin McKay and Philip White, and to Technical Director Ken Campbell and Associate Producer Rachel Keith. Join us on the next edition of the Coastline Candidate Interviews when we meet three more candidates in the race for Wilmington City Council. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org, get the podcast, or find it on the HQR app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.